Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. We're going to be discussing gold today, and we also have Wendy Wilson joining us for the first segment of the hour today. And today is April 25th, 2013. It's Thursday. Once again, thank you for listening to Financial Survival. Let's first get to the gold market today. What a day we've had. What a crazy, crazy day in the markets. And here at Discount Gold and Silver, many of you took advantage of that special we ran yesterday. I kept those prices the same, even though those coins are up about $65 today. So even though you had that great savings yesterday, you were able to save another $65 today. So that's what we do here at Discount Gold and Silver. You're foolish to listen to anyone else out there. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Gold today was up $32.40. Boy, it's sure good to see it to the green side. $14.65 for gold. Silver up $1.13 at $24.39. Platinum was up $38 at $14.72. And we have palladium up 11 at $684. USDX today was trading slightly lower, 0.15 at 82.78. And crude oil took another pop today, up almost $2 at 93.25. Interesting day in the markets today. Chicago Board of Trade, the options, they didn't open today. I think they did finally open later on this afternoon, but they didn't open, and it wasn't known early this morning whether they were going to open or not. And there was no explanation why the exchange didn't open. And I haven't had a chance to follow up on it this afternoon.
I blame Frank.
You blame Frank?
I blame Frank, the producer. When anything goes wrong, anything strange, we blame Frank, the producer.
But there was they completely said it was basically a technology glitch, of course. And yesterday they had their little flash crash momentarily from a tweeter. Somebody tweeted something and hit the markets. So Dow today was up 24 at 14,700. NASDAQ up 20 at 3289. S&P up 6 at 1585. And the 10-year yield, that's creeping up 1.71, although not so much. I guess the mortgage rates are, I think they've hit lowest that there has been for your 30-year mortgages. So if you're refinancing, folks, now's the time to do it. You've had a lot of time to do it. Gold, we did gold, and the 15-year mortgage rate hit a record low. That's what it was. I knew one of them did. It was the 15-year rate, fixed rate loan, and that was according to a weekly report from Freddie Mac, fell to 2.61. 2.61 on a 15-year mortgage. So, Wendy Wilson, has she been added to the program yet?
I'm here, Melanie. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Now we can.
Awesome. Well, hello.
Thank you for joining us, Al.
Oh, Wendy, how are you doing today? Wendy is from Apothecary Herbs, and she's here to help us be healthier as well as wealthier. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Alan. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain.
And how's Melanie doing?
Nobody pays any attention anyway.
I'm doing just fine, Wendy.
Well, that's great. That's great. Did you guys hear about what the CEO Nestle wants to do?
Yes, I did. We actually talked a little about it, I think, yesterday. He says privatize. What he means is corporatize the ownership of water around the world.
Yeah,
right?
The food stuff now. Yeah. Well, did you hear what they did in Maryland recently?
No, tell me.
Well, we're talking about water. The state of Maryland, the lawmakers there passed the impervious surfaces tax, which has been dubbed the rain tax. So if your land doesn't perk correctly and you have more runoff than they would like, they are going to tax you on the rain that hits your land. And they say it's all because they want to protect the Chesapeake Bay.
I'm sure they have a reason for it. Let me ask you this, Wendy. Uh-huh. What do you know about the effects of some of the insecticides and Roundup, for example? What effect does that have on the topsoil? Do you know?
The chemicals can leach into the soil, and we do get more erosion that way. So it's,
I don't
it's,
know if we get more erosion. I've heard from people that it actually turns the topsoil into something like an impervious sheet. Well, maybe you're right. By runoff, I don't know about more. We would get more runoff, but not necessarily more erosion. I've heard from people in Texas when I was living there, and I can't tell you if it's true. Maybe you'll know better about it than I do. But it allegedly, over time, it causes the topsoil to kind of combine into just sheets that are solid, and instead of having water absorbed, it tends to just run off. Do you know if there's any truth to that?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of that and all the chemtrail stuff. Because we had an expert on Herb Talk Live who used to work for the EPA, retired now, actually did some independent testing, paid for it at a lab, and there's a lot of changes in the atmosphere with what they're seeding the atmosphere with, and it's affecting the pH down here on plants and in soil. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And you layer in the insecticides and herbicides and all that, mm-hmm. I think we have a real problem.
And so the irony, if it's true, that the insecticides and herbicides are causing the ground to become more impervious to rain, uh-huh. And we have a situation where you can pay the chemical manufacturers extra to protect your plants, and then they pay higher taxes because it causes runoff. That might affect the Chesapeake Bay. So you're going to pay in the beginning, and you're going to pay in the end, and mostly you're going to pay, and maybe you'll even have something left over for yourself before it's all over. I have
terrible.
One for you.
Okay.
Here's something from Mail Online, which is a British publication. And the headline is, Why 30 is Really 45?
Yeah,
we're
I heard
so
about
unhealthy.
That.
Now, this is an English publication, but we're so unhealthy that we're 15 years older than our mm-hmm. parents were at the same age.
Yeah, the 30 is the new 45. And if we continue with the diets and the GMO foods and the chemtrails and the vaccines and the antibiotics, within a decade, the new 45 is going to be 20.
Well, this is good news for the Social Security Administration, because if they can just hang on for probably another 20 years, nobody's going to live long enough to collect Social Security.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have, if you want Social Security, they're going to have to start paying off when you hit 40 or 45.
Yeah.
You won't live long enough to collect after that.
Is there any updates on the internet tax?
I don't know. There probably are, but I'm not aware of any updates. Another one of those.
That's total insanity. I mean, you have 50 states. Let's say you're an online shop. You'd have to have software to help you track and keep track of what you. And do you know each county may have a different tax within a specific state? So then you have to keep track of all that. And it's total insanity. Plus, all that time that you would have to spend doing all that, it's like you're working for free for the feds, you know?
Mm-hmm. Why not just turn the whole business over to the government, and maybe you could get a job as an employee, and you get a good health care program, and the rest of that wouldn't be Obamacare, hopefully. You get a good health care program, good dental plan. You'll be paid twice what you could expect to make in the private sector if you're working for yourself, and let the government worry about collecting and paying the taxes. What about that?
It just goes against the grain, though, you know?
I understand. The whole thing has become the whole, and the people in Washington, where is the end?
Well, there isn't any, and that's why they're going to tax. They're going to tax you on rain. They're going to tax you to breathe with carbon credits. They're just so greedy. Enough's not enough. You know, I know a lady in New York who's a self-employed businesswoman, and she told New York that she would collect their tax, their sales tax, and she would put it in an escrow account, and they can send whoever employee they would like. And she would have all the paperwork available to that employee to verify that they collected the right amount of tax. And then she would cut them a check, and they could take it back with them. But she wasn't going to sit there and spend hours filling out paperwork and then sending them money when she doesn't work for the federal government. And, you know, she even dedicated a parking space outside her business for that employee, that government employee. They've never come to collect that money.
Yeah. Well,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is interesting. It's almost like calling them on their own bluff. Sure, I'll be glad to help you, but you'll have to stop in and collect yourself. I don't think they'd want to start that precedent. Because
well,
if they have to collect the taxes,
uh-huh.
What's the manpower requirement going to be? They expect you to not only calculate and send it in the mail. They don't want the expense of manpower going door to door collecting your sales taxes.
I know. Well, you know, South Carolina took care of that little problem because slavery is illegal, right? And so if you work for free, that makes you a slave, right?
Not necessarily. You can be a voluntary servant. You can behave as a trustee for a trust, and you can work for free if it's voluntary. But
I'm talking about the non-voluntary.
I don't voluntarily do this.
Yeah, I'm not talking about this being voluntary. Who would voluntarily do this, you know? But anyway, South Carolina will cut you a discount when you collect and do the paperwork and send it in. You get to keep some of that money. So that's how they got around that.
They had something similar here when I used to have to tax for gold in Pennsylvania, which they exempted. But if you would pay by a certain time, they would give you a discount. But also, I don't think it would be very difficult for them to push the tax through on the internet, because the small businessman, it just puts them out of business because it does increase the paperwork. It's very confusing. But it would also have then be extended to these department stores. Like if I called JCPenney's and made an order from their catalog and they shipped to me out of state, there's no sales tax. So they would have to begin also to charge taxes on catalog orders and phone orders and anything that they would ship out of state, they would also be taxed.
Well,
so
and
I think it's going
to
be the retail industry is too big, and I just.
Well, they tax you on the ship too. At least a lot of states require that. I know North Carolina does. So, but, you know, this is just total insanity. I mean, and to answer Al's question, it's never going to be enough. These folks they're going to try to take control of your retirement fund and then make sure through Obamacare you don't live long enough to get it.
The American Revolution was fought over a tax, was at least in part initiated based on a tax on tea.
Right.
Which worked out to just a percent or two of what everyone was making. It was a triviality. When I was a boy, the total tax that was imposed on my father, he had his own business, he was paying about 15% local, state, and federal taxes altogether. He was paying about 15%. Today, average man is paying probably 60% of his income, maybe more, in taxes, and the government says we need more. And Bill Clinton said back about 1992, if I recall correctly, but early in his administration, Clinton predicted that the next generation would be paying about 80% of their taxes, of their income, to government.
Well, it's insane.
My dad was paying 15%. It's part of the reason my mom could stay home to raise me and my sister.
Right.
He got to keep 80-85% of his gross. He got to keep for himself. Mom could stay home. Nowadays, a young man, he only makes 60. He's at most clearing 60% by the time you get done with federal taxes, state taxes, local taxes, hidden taxes. He gets to keep maybe 40% of what he earns at most. It's not enough to support a family. Mom has to work. Before we run out of time, though, here's one more I want to run by. Here's a article from New York Times. Culprit in heart disease goes beyond meets fat. And they did a study, and what they've discovered, a surprising new explanation why red meat may contribute to heart disease. The idea is that when you consume the red meat, and there's a increase in bacteria within the system that produce a chemical called TMAO, gets into the blood and increases the risk of heart disease. Do you understand? Do you have any feeling on that or any insight to offer? It's not the beef; it's the microorganisms that are.
I think that may be partial reason why, you know, eating a lot of meat's not good for you. I think the other part is, you know, the fat content, you know, in the meats. You know, our gallbladders can just do so much scrubbing to remove and break down fat. And if we have too much meat in our diet, which most Americans do, that, you know, they need to flip-flop it. They don't eat enough vegetables and they eat more meat. They need to flip-flop it, eat more vegetables and less meat. But I think, you know, fat doesn't melt until you raise the temperature above what the body temperature is. So that means you got to, you know, raise the heart rate. You got to sweat a little bit to help break down some of these fats. And as more Americans become more sedentary, this is, I think, an accumulative effect in addition to your other chemicals you just mentioned.
All right. Well, we are almost out of time. We've got about a minute left, Wendy. Why don't you give us, give the audience a little contact information for the Apothecary Herbs Shop?
Absolutely. They can visit us online at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And, of course, if they want to call toll-free, that number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And if you haven't signed up for the American Survival Newsletter, which Al and Melody write for, I encourage you to do so on the powerherbs.com website.
All right, Wendy. We've got about 20 seconds left. Do you want to add one more comment, remark?
Oh, sure. If they tune in on the shortwave on WWCR on Tuesday nights, they can hear Herb Talk. So they can hear it there. And I think we talked about some superior health keys, some keys that will help you have superior health. And next time we'll be talking about pharmaceutical Goliaths and how, you know, the bigger they are, Al, the harder they fall. So we're going to talk about that.
Well, we'll see how hard they fall. They don't plan on falling at all, but we'll see if we can take them down. I'm Alfred Addis. I want to thank you, Wendy, for being on the program again today. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody, do we have a special for people today?
We're just going to adjust. The prices are being so adjusted, so no, we don't right now. We still have for immediate delivery Morgan Silver dollars. The prices are those are beginning to move up a little bit also. So, folks, if you're looking to get into the gold and silver market, you know, there's haste makes waste, I believe, is that old saying. We got some great prices. We'll beat or match any of our competitors' prices without even trying. So bring us a price. As long as it's a legitimate price, we will at least match it, or if not, beat it. But it does have to be legitimate. So, Morgan silver dollars for the silver, not a lot of updates on that. You know, bars are trickling in here and there. I have a couple of 100-ounce bars that I have available if anybody's interested in those. Off the top, I can't remember what the imprints are, who the maker is, but got a couple of those. But mainly the Morgan silver dollars, and they're a great buy at $34. $34 on the Morgan silver dollars. Immediate delivery. And our silver eagles are coming in. We're pretty much caught up with shipping this week. Everybody will be done with funds that are supposed to be shipped, so that's going along as planned. And if folks can hold off a little bit, I'm sure the silver eagles will become a little bit more available with probably a little bit lower premium. So we're making a list of folks who want to be called when items are available. So if you'd like to be placed on that list, give us a call. And we'll put you on that list. But when we call you, you better be ready to make the trade. So But again, we had a great day and goal today. And you know what's interesting, Alan? And I'm not, I don't think we talked about this. You had the takedown in gold, you know, a week ago, so to speak, a few days. And the CME opened up a new silver contract, and that was April 18th. It was actually a 1,000-ounce silver contract that was being introduced. The existing contract was 5,000 ounces. So this allows people to get into the market at a little bit with less pocket change. So it kind of makes you wonder. This contract was available. I believe that started in April. Let's see. This contract will be available on the CME Globex electronic trading platform for over-the-counter clearing from CME Clearport and Open Outcry on the trading floor in New York. And they'll begin with the September contract. So, interesting.
I'm looking at an article that deals with the same subject, CME Group, and it's just an announcement from April 18th, and it says the World CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse derivatives marketplace,
yes,
today announced the launch of a new physically delivered silver 1,000-ounce future contract. Now, does this mean they are going to create a purely physically delivered silver market? Not paper silver. We're talking about physical. That's what's going to happen every trade. Because if we are, we're talking about going to a pure physical silver in, what, I think it said June. I think the article said June they intended. Yeah, June of 2013.
June of 2013.
We're talking less than 2 months maximum. All right? If this is true and it's CME, they're the ones that posted this, a new physically delivered silver futures contract. Are they getting ready to go to a silver market, a pure silver market? And if so, what's that going to mean to the price of silver?
Well, I think most of these contracts are deliverable. It's whether they do or not. You know, 5,000 ounce contract.
That's what I'm wondering. Is this?
I think it's just
this razzle dazzle, or do they really mean that they're going to have a they say a new physically delivered silver 1,000 ounces futures contract. I'm inclined to think you're right. They say physically delivered. That's if we bothered to deliver it, if we're willing to deliver it. Other than that, we'll give you some paper.
Yeah.
But it would certainly be, that would be explosive news if it was going to be absolutely delivered. You want it? You're going to take the silver. No, you're not going to take paper. We're going to give you silver, physical silver. If that were true, we would have the beginning of a physical silver price, a mechanism for determining what the price is for physical silver, not paper silver, and that's what we're learning on the markets right now. We learn about paper silver. We learn about paper gold. What is the price? We presume that the price of paper gold is the same as the price of paper of physical gold. We presume the price of paper silver is the price of physical silver. That presumption is unsupportable. It's false. I'm just wondering, when are we going to see a market that only buys and sells physical silver, physical gold, no paper? Do you think we'll see that anytime soon, Melody?
Well, you know, what I find more important about this is they're going after the smaller silver investor. They're trying to get them into paper. They're trying to get them involved into this market. And
I agree with that. That's also suspicious.
So, folks, nothing is better than physical. And I'm sure there's a lot of complaints. You know, hey, you know, it's tough to haul around 1,000 ounces of silver and 5,000 ounces of silver. I have many clients who do, you know, who have that much silver and more. I have a lot of clients who have more than 5,000 ounces, tons more, but it's for a select buyer who has the ability to do that. So it gives an option for those smaller silver investors to get involved in paper. And, you know, folks, it's a dangerous market. In fact, I have one client, he opened up to me, and if you're listening, you know, I'm not going to say your name, but he lost millions of dollars in being in silver paper.
Yeah.
Because you just make bad decisions. And when you have these people out there saying, well, we'll do it for you, I wouldn't trust them any more than what I would trust myself, you know, because I don't think I said that right, but...
No, that was a little bit of a strange one, Melody.
What I meant was people get caught up into the system and you know, markets are always going higher, and you know, or markets, they'll correct and go back up. So it takes a lot of discipline to trade in that paper market. And
it doesn't just take discipline.
It takes discipline.
It takes discipline. You have to be aggressive. It requires a speculator's mind. It's more of a gamble. It's more volatile. You may stand to make some unusual profits in a very short term. You can also suffer some significant losses in a very short term. If you're looking to invest, I don't think you want a piece of paper. You want a tangible piece of gold. You want a tangible piece of silver. Even if you paid a certain price, let's suppose you bought some silver and it cost you $40 an ounce. You don't actually suffer a loss on that until you sell it for less than $40. We may see a price, the price might fall, maybe it falls to $30. You bought it at $40, it falls to $30. Have you lost anything? There's a paper loss, but there's no real loss if you're prepared to hold. If the trend is right, the trend's going up, the day is coming when you will be able to sell your silver for a substantial amount of money. You're not going to get caught in a market's demanding that you make payments right now. You're not buying on leverage. You know, you're good. You're holding that gold and silver. It's so much safer, so much more reliable, and certainly a better investment. But if you want to speculate, paper's the way to go, probably.
You know, Al, we talk a lot about the New World Order. We talk about the changes in the countries. We talk about Europe and the difficulty that those countries are in. China. And France, they're vowing to promote a multipolar world.
Mm-hmm.
You have France's president over there in China, and both of them are pledging to push for a world free of domination by any superpower. Now, neither one of these...
Did they have any superpower in mind?
Well, I'm sure China's thinking themselves. I don't know what France is thinking, but... they didn't mention the U.S. in their comments, but they both feel a strong sense of independence, and they want to promote a multipolar world. And so I find that interesting. They want to balance.
What does that mean relative to the New World Order, Melody?
You have France that is rejecting it.
That's exactly right. What's happening is if they want a multipolar world,
mm-hmm.
they are resisting the idea of central government. They are resisting, if they're going to resist the idea of one superpower, they are necessarily going to resist the idea of global governance. They're saying, nope, we're going to run ours. These people over there are going to run theirs down there in South. They'll run their stuff down there in Argentina and South America and so on. If they're going to have multipolar, it is contrary to the idea of global governance, New World Order. So we'll see how that works out. Watch and see.
Well, you don't know if this is just lip service from France, because while he's over there, you know, they signed an agreement for China to buy 60 planes from the France's Airbus, plus French, you know, we all know that their economy is hurting, so they're hoping to make additional deals in China, you know, for their cars and nuclear energy and also food exports. So...
Does this mean that China will pay now and wait until France delivers the airplanes? Or do they deliver? Or do they pay if and when the French deliver?
I'm sure there's deposits, just like Boeing has with all those Dreamliners. They pay a certain percentage. They put down deposits. So I'm sure
the way the French operate, though, you could order pancakes from the French, and the way their unions operate, you might not have those pancakes for breakfast or lunch or even dinner on that day. It could take a little longer to deliver the pancakes, and I'm wondering how long it will take them to deliver airplanes. They have extraordinary lunch break Airbuses. They have extraordinary lunch breaks. They have opportunities to sit around and just shoot the breeze. The unions are really, they've gone a little too far in France, and I was wondering if they can design the planes, can they deliver them? That's my question.
Well, Airbus was actually beating out Boeing until Boeing had been able to deliver these Dreamliners. And, of course, we all know the problems with those, with their batteries, but supposedly they have it fixed, which amazes me that they can fix them in such a short period of time. And
to rewire to use C cells and D cells and that sort of thing, and it'll be fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, tell that to the crew.
They're going to recharge.
They're going to
put rechargeable batteries in there. They'll pull the airplane up to an outlet next to somebody's house, and they'll recharge right there at the house. What else do we have, Melody?
Well, there was something else that I wanted to talk about. We haven't talked about Boston for a while, but, you know, we're on the economy, and it's amazing. And you might find this as legal, that they should do this and so forth. But the administration, they refused to release the two brothers' welfare records.
Uh-huh.
They refuse to release their unemployment compensation. They refuse to release any of their health, where they were getting their health phone, whether they had cell phones from the FCC, you know, those free cell phones that people get.
Yep.
They're refusing to release any school records. They're refusing, and it's like, you know, how did they?
I understand. Who are these kids? Obama's illegitimate sons or something? They won't release Obama's real birth certificate either. A lot of things that the most transparent administration America's ever had actually refuses to release, refuses to expose. Does this suggest that these boys found enough time to build bombs while they were on welfare? Did the government support them on welfare? And give them the, you know, instead of having a job at McDonald's or whatever, they did the government pay them enough money to allow them to build bombs? Well, do you know, Melody, or not?
Well, it seems like we don't know. They won't release the records. But
that's maybe the reason that they're concealing these records. They don't want people to understand that if they hadn't had all that time on their hands, which welfare allows for, they might not have had time to build any bombs. But we'll see.
Yeah, and I mean, in a time where you have welfare, food stamps increasing so significantly, it's. Speaking of, and hopefully we have time to do this before the break, a $2 trillion underground economy that is actually keeping the system together. And what the shadow economy is for those who can't find a full-time job or regular job, that they go and work and get paid underneath the table.
Mm-hmm.
No income reported and, of course, no taxes paid. And that's a lot of money.
I agree. Particularly, I believe the economy is about $16 trillion. They're about $14 trillion, I believe, in that neighborhood. I don't recall right off the top of my head. But if that's correct, we're talking about 1/7 of the annual gross domestic product is in this underground economy, $2 trillion. The economy quibbles whether we are going into a depression or coming back for recovery based on 0.1%. Did the economy go up 0.1%? Is it going down 0.1%? That's a long ways from 1/7. What is 1/7? Probably, 14%? 14-15% underground?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Economy underground? Mm-hmm. It just tells you part. What's it tell you? If we have 14% of the economy is underground, it means 14% of the people in this country can only get jobs where taxes are not imposed, point one, and maybe they can only get jobs doing things that the government won't allow, point two. And 14% underground economy implies that we've got 14% of the people who can only get work by breaking the law. That's an implication on this. How many people can break the law routinely? How many people must break the law in order to support themselves before the government has to admit it's gone too far? I mean, it is an indictment of big government. 14% are working outside the system. That's an indictment of big government. What else we have, Melody? Oh, we have commercials. We went beyond our 20-minute break mark. Here comes Frank and the music. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom, and let's start talking a little bit about an article in the, New York Times? Possible Fed successor has admirers and foes. Washington, July 1996, Federal Reserve broke the metronomic routine of its closed-door policymaking to hold an unusual debate. Fed's powerful chairman, Alan Greenspan, saw a chance for the first time in decades to drive annual inflation all the way down to zero, achieving a price stability that he had long regarded as the central bank's primary mission. But Janet L. Yellen, then a relatively new and little-known Federal Reserve governor, talked Mr. Greenspan to a standstill, arguing that a little inflation was a good thing. Now, the reason this article's in the newspaper is because there's talk that Ben Bernanke is fixing to retire as chairman of the Federal Reserve, and Ms. Yellen is a candidate to take his place. And according to the article, some people, she has her supporters, she has her, foes, and The central issue is that Ms. Yellen apparently favors the using inflation to control the economy. Is that a good thing, Melody, a bad thing? And what does it point to for the future in the Federal Reserve?
I think it's a good thing for gold, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this, and, I mean, there isn't much that she can do, but she's going to have to follow along the same as Ben Bernanke's been doing. The things will have to go along, and I'm going to put this, I know women will get mad at me, but if you put a woman in there, you better buy twice as much gold as what you got.
Well, it's possible, but it's possible. I'm not going to get into that. You can see that. Even though I've been through divorce court and rest of it, I am not going to open up a war on that particular front.
Women like to spend money.
Well, I understand. But the point is, one of the points is that if Mr. Bernanke is leaving, and he was called Helicopter Ben because of his proposed policy, if the economy slipped into a recession and or depression, he would dump money out of helicopters to try to stimulate it back into an economic recovery. So we called him Helicopter Ben. Here we have a woman who is perhaps going to assume the position of chairman of the Federal Reserve. And if she does, it appears that she may also be inclined to inflate. Now, this shouldn't come as a surprise, because the truth is, this article starts out where the Fed's powerful chairman, Alan Greenspan, saw a chance for the first time in decades to drive annual inflation all the way down to zero, achieving the price stability he had long regarded as the central bank's primary mission. I think that's a false premise. I don't believe there's been anybody in the Federal Reserve in my lifetime whose fundamental issue was to provide price stability. They claim they're there to fight inflation. That's been their standard claim for most of a century. They're here to fight inflation. But in fact, they have persistently caused 1.5%, 2% inflation over most of the last, 50, 75 years. It hasn't happened all the time, but it has been predominant. The Fed is here to inflate the currency. They don't fight inflation. They fight deflation. That's what they fight. And the evidence is obvious and undeniable. It has been. Inflation has been the Fed's business for most of its lifetime. Certainly that's happened. It happened relative to Mr. Greenspan. It's particularly happened relative to Mr. Bernanke. And it's virtually certain to happen relative to whoever takes Mr. Bernanke's place. We can anticipate more inflation, and it's part of the reason in my lifetime, in the last 40 years, roughly, we've seen the price of gold go from $35 an ounce to now in the neighborhood of $1,400 an ounce. 97% inflation, thereabouts. That's what it indicates. That didn't happen by accident in just 40 years. That's policy, and it is unlikely that that policy is going to be changed at least on a permanent basis. It's unlikely that they're going to change that policy. It's not impossible, but it's unlikely. If they do change the policy and they say, to heck with inflation, we're going for deflation, it means the government's going to have to pay off its debt with more expensive dollars. You are going to have to pay your debts with more expensive dollars. That means they will have more purchasing power than they did when you borrowed them. The net result is that anyone who's a debtor in this country, and that includes almost everyone, is going to be more deeply indebted and more likely to go into bankruptcy, more likely perhaps to even enter into that 14% underground economy we talked about earlier in the program. They're going to go back and they're going to say, I can't make it. I got to go underground. I got to do something that is criminal. It might be dealing drugs. It may be just working under the table where you don't have to pay income tax. Work for less, but you don't have to pay income tax. Hire out and work for cash each week or maybe each day. Deflation would encourage more people to go into an underground economy. And we have seen some evidence of deflation in the last 18 months. And so far as the price of gold has moved down or sideways, and technically that's evidence of deflation. It does not make sense to me because it's contrary to the government's own interests. They need inflation to pay their debt with cheaper dollars. They don't want deflation. They don't want more expensive dollars. They can't want that on a rational basis unless someone has made a decision that it's time to collapse the economy. If we could see evidence where we were confident that they had made a policy shift and they were going to say, okay, we're going to have deflation from now on, guess what? We're going into the depression. It's one of the hallmarks of depression is deflation, but in the context of deflation and in the context of a depression, what is it that they say is king, Melody?
Well, they used to say cash was king.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. But what was the cash?
Gold.
Well, they'd actually taken the gold out in the Great Depression. The gold was removed in 1933. It was there for a while. They took the gold in 1933, but all of the cash was still backed by silver on up until 1964. Actually, 68 when they stopped redeeming silver certificates for silver. The point, though, my point, is that when cash was king during the last Great Depression, that cash, although it may have been paper dollars in your wallet, all of that cash was still backed by a precious metal. Silver was still the precious metal that was backing our currency. Ultimately, silver was the cash that was king during the Great Depression. This is not to say that silver would necessarily be the cash that's king if we went into another Great Depression or a greater depression. It is to say that precious metals, gold and silver, will be the cash that's king during the Great Depression or Greater Depression if there's another one coming down the line. People will not want, they'll still take paper dollars, but they're going to want a lot of them, all right? And they're going to try to spend them as fast as they can. It's just like they did in Zimbabwe. They'll take them. You can still use those Zimbabwean notes. We'll be able to use U.S. dollars, but they are going to watch. Their value will diminish on a monthly, weekly, perhaps even daily or even hourly basis. That's what happened in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwean dollar was worth so much in the morning. By evening, it was worth significantly less. My point is that in the event we are sliding into deflation, I don't think that's where the government, I can't imagine that's where the government wants us to go. But if we were going into deflation, then gold and silver would be the cash I'd want to hang on to. That would be the cash that would be king. That would be the cash that was appreciating in value while other forms of paper debt instruments were depreciating. They're becoming less and less valuable, at least in my opinion. The real cash will be gold and silver, yada, yada. That's my opinion.
You know what's interesting, though, is you had Christine Lagarde. She was the first woman to head the IMF.
Yep.
Now we're looking at another female to head a very powerful central bank.
What's that tell us?
Buy gold and lots of it.
You know, I observed this. I wrote an article on this. I remember this. I wrote an article on this back in the 90s, and I can't remember all of it entirely. But I was pointing out that when a nation decides to take a woman for the president, the premier, whatever, it generally means that they are in so much trouble that all the men have said, there's nothing I can do. I'm out of here. I'm not
there. Woman
come
in there.
Come on, Sally. You take the job. And this thing blows up, we're going to blame you for it. When you see, it's Argentina. They've got Mrs. Kirchner is the wife of the former president. He died in office. She took over. It signals that they are in a lot of trouble. And I hadn't thought about this article for a long time. But the principle might still be true. If it is, then the idea that they appointed Lagarde as head of the International Monetary Fund, it suggests that the IMF is in a lot of trouble. And likewise, if Ms. Yellen, and it does say Ms., not Mrs., mm-hmm. So if Janet L. Yellen, and she's going to be perhaps the next chairman of the Federal Reserve, it suggests that maybe they are in a lot of trouble and none of the good old boys want any part of it, so they're all ducking for cover and get mom. Mom,
Who can get mad at a female? They're not going to shoot a female, so. Anyway.
You never know, Melody. When it comes to politicians, when was the last time anyone shot a female politician? You may be right.
Well, no, we had the woman in.
Oh, Arizona. Yeah, that's right.
Gifford.
Yeah, that's right, Mrs. Gifford.
Gabby Gifford, yeah.
Yeah. So I do shoot females from time to time, Melody. Got to be crazy. Some of them have to be crazy to do it, but who can say? So what else have we got? What do we got? 3 minutes to go?
Yes, we do.
What's next?
Corzine.
That's a good brief.
Yeah, I guess they're looking to go after maybe a lawsuit after Corzine. I'm not quite sure if it has actually been processed or if they have actually has he actually been sued by the trustee?
I think the suit's been initiated. Here's part of the article from
Criminal
Fox Business, and it says John Corzine, former U.S. senator and governor from New Jersey. Those are some high credentials. I mean, when you're looking for when you're going to issue the Man of Ethics Award for the year, you're going to want a senator and governor from New Jersey, because this is the fountainhead of ethics here in the United States. I mean, this is where ethics really bloom, was in New Jersey. In any case, it says he has been sued for his role in the failure of brokerage firm MF Global Holdings, the eighth largest bankruptcy in history. The trustee overseeing MF Global's bankruptcy, former FBI Chief Louis Free, filed the papers against Corzine and two other top MF Global officials late Monday in federal bankruptcy court in Manhattan. This is interesting information. Corzine made several tens of billions of dollars to disappear. And being a former senator, when he was called to the carpet in the Senate, he said, "Well, golly, I have no idea what happened to all that money. Just the darndest thing I ever saw. It just kind of disappeared." That is the craziest thing I've ever even heard of, and they let him get away with it. As the CEO for the whole operation, they let him skate on the basis of, maybe it fell off the desk and landed in the waste paper basket and the cleaning lady threw it out. Nobody loses billions of dollars. No one. All right? It's theft. When billions of dollars disappear, somebody's been robbed, and usually it's the American taxpayer. Mr. Corzine is finally going to get a lawsuit. Not necessarily criminal charges, which is what he deserves, but at least he's going to get a lawsuit. That's cause for a certain amount of celebration. So we will perhaps celebrate a little bit more tomorrow on Friday when Melody and I return. I want to thank all of you for listening as always. And between now and Friday, may the good Lord bless you, me, Frank, producer, and Melody. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. Bless you, bless.